Episode 29, Gratitude with Christina Rode.
Where meditation meets daily life, this is the Meditation Freedom Podcast.
Welcome to the Meditation Freedom Podcast. My name is Siko Rode, and this is a podcast all about meditation and mindfulness. And what I do is I either talk with guests or talk with Christina and myself and just kind of talk about meditation, mindfulness, why we do it, what are the benefits, and what kinds of qualities do we cultivate with our meditation, and how do we bring these qualities through our mindfulness into our daily lives. In today's episode, Christina and I were just kind of chatting a little bit about gratitude. And I hope you enjoy that, and feel free to leave comments on the show notes, because I think gratitude is a very important part of a meditation practice. Gratitude is just something that spontaneously arises when we do meditation, because meditation in a way is appreciation of the present moment and returning to that over and over again. So it cultivates gratitude, but we may as well also discuss it on its own. And I did an experiment for this podcast. I set up the phone to try to do a Periscope session at the same time. And Periscope allows you to do live broadcasting and allow the audience, the people listening and viewing, to live interact by either a chat box or by providing some feedback through the little heart feature. And so that's kind of a really interesting experiment. However, for this particular podcast, I turned it on and it crashed almost right away. So that's the only reason why I mentioned there's a Periscope session going on at the same time, even though it didn't work. But hopefully in the future, I might get it to work. But at this time, it only works for me when I'm outside sitting in the desert instead of sitting inside. And I have no idea why it is not working or crashing whenever I use my Android phone on the inside of the house. And then at the end of the episode, I'm going to share a little bit of a sound clip from an encounter Olive and I, our rescue dog, we had out in the desert. And I thought you might enjoy the sound of coyotes just surrounding us. And it was dark, so we couldn't actually see them, but they were really close. And you can hear that in the audio file. So with that, let's get right into the conversation I had with Christina right here at home in Borrego Springs, California. Feel free, as always, to leave a comment if you liked some of it, or if you wanted us to discuss something, some other aspect of gratitude that we didn't discuss. Thank you so much for joining me or listening to the podcast or joining me on Periscope. So thanks for joining me, Christina.
My pleasure.
Great. And Christina and I we're both together. We're married. And so she's joining me for this podcast episode. And we also turned on Periscope to see if anybody else wants to share what they're grateful for today, this Sunday, beautiful Sunday morning. Well, actually, it's now 1:30. So it's actually a little bit later. And it's probably 115 outside right now in Borrego Springs, California, the eastern part of San Diego County. And so today, if you just joined in, we want to talk a little bit about gratitude. And what I do personally, and Christina can talk about what she does for gratitude. What I do personally is I try to do a couple times a week, think of and write down at least 10 things when I wake up in the morning that I'm grateful for, especially if it's like a day where I might not be feeling grateful, or if I'm feeling impatient. You know, if you just got that feeling inside where you're feeling like you might have some destructive emotions, then especially that's a cue for me to turn on and start thinking of some of the things that I'm not grateful for, or that I am grateful for. So then once I think of 10 things I'm grateful for in that moment, then I feel a lot better right on the spot. So it takes less than a minute to feel more grateful. Do you have, Christina, do you have some thoughts about, you know, when you feel more grateful?
I practice gratitude every day when I watch the dogs. We rescue dogs. We have 4 dogs, and I'm so grateful for them as my teacher, because they're always present, they're always mindful, they're always paying attention.
They sure are, yeah.
And they're joyous. They're such joyous beings. And it takes so little to make them happy. And it reminds me that I can be grateful as well, because they're grateful for every moment they're alive. So they're really valuable teachers.
Yeah, I agree. I love it when I see the dogs and they're just happy wagging their tails when I come home. And it makes you feel really good, and it makes you want to learn from them. And they're happy just to get a bone or to go for a walk or to get some food and to snuggle up. Yeah.
The other thing I notice, a lot of times I'll be really busy in the house, running around doing things, putting things together, and I have to go off on errands or somewhere. And for some reason, when I sit down in my car, I can take a breath and relax and realize how grateful I am to be sitting and not rushing. And why was I rushing so? Why was I so mindless? And then I can look around at the environment before I start the car, at a tree or a plant or the street or a person walking by, and be very grateful I'm there, present in that moment, and that I have a car, and so many people don't, and that I have the freedom to go where I want, that I have the physical capability of going where I want to go, and a reliable car that can get me there. So I feel very grateful for my car every time I get in my car.
Right.
And very grateful for the things around me.
So it's like almost a mini meditation then, because you're sitting down in the car without immediately turning on the keys to get going.
Right, right. I immediately feel, I'm able to take a breath and slow down and remember all the things that are going on in my life that are so beneficial and so wonderful, and feel gratitude for them. And when I start the car and start to drive, looking at the sky, looking at the trees or the plants, and just being amazed that I have so much beauty around me, and that I need to remind myself to always notice that and be mindful of it, because it's such a gift to have eyes and the ability to experience it.
Yeah, so gratitude in a way takes the focus away from what you don't have, which is what we oftentimes think of, you know, I don't have this or I don't have that. And it shifts the focus on what you do have, because we do have so many things. Yeah, the car is a good example, because you know, I think a lot of people have road rage. And so if a car cuts you off, that would be a good time to maybe have a little gratitude as well, because then you can say, well, you know, I have a car, which is amazing. It's an amazing piece of engineering that takes me from point A to point B. And, you know, it protects me from the elements. And, you know, the fact that I have a car at all, that I'm not homeless, that I have to go walk to work. So there's so many reasons to be grateful, even when you're being cut off in traffic.
But hold on, maybe the walking, if he was walking mindfully, because, as you know, there was a point in my life where I was very fit and I was doing a 4-mile walk in an hour. And it was the same route I took. It was a country road, and it was very beautiful. And people would say, why don't you vary that? Why don't you take a different route?
Right.
because every single day it was new to me, because I would notice something else, or I would just remember to appreciate what I was seeing that maybe I hadn't appreciated the day before or the week before. So walking mindfully can also be hugely
very beneficial.
And beneficial. Having to walk to work may not be the most ideal situation, because you're probably stressed and in a hurry, but it can still be made a mindful experience.
Oh, totally.
To stop and take a breath and appreciate what's around you.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that makes you more grateful too. Take a mindfulness walk.
I did want to mention, we have a friend, Betty, who she comes from a Christian perspective, but she has a, which is fine. She has a, when she, her answering machine says, "Hi, this is Betty. I'm probably busy being grateful now, but I'll call you later." And I just think that's wonderful.
Yeah, that's
great. She's busy being grateful. She can't come to the phone.
Right.
So that's really nice. You know, it's nice to appreciate that we have a phone, that we have that technology even, to be able to communicate with people on our computers and all the things that make us able to be part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like right now, if I can, you know, just off the top of my head, I don't have anything written down. But because I practice it very often, it's pretty easy for me to rattle off a list of 10 things that I'm grateful for. But I can think of 10 things right now. Mm-hmm. You sitting next to you and having a conversation. The technology that allows us to connect with people across not just the little boundaries around this park here, because we're living in pretty much the middle of nowhere, but we can connect with people way beyond California. And I'm grateful for sun and blue skies and mountains, the dogs, and the ability to be healthy and to have hands that I can use, and arms and legs and eyes, and nose and ear. And, well, I think I've already gone past 10 items. So it's real easy. So once I do that, I go, oh, that's great, you know, and I'm in a much better position than I was before, is because I became aware and conscious of something that I'm grateful for. So what about you? Do you have something right now, that 10 things or 5 things that you can think of that you're grateful for?
I'm very grateful for you. I feel we have a wonderful relationship. We work at it. We compromise. We try very hard to be harmonious together. And I'm very grateful that we both have that motivation to, make our relationship work, because it's hard to do when one's engaged and one isn't. So I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for my breath. Because of my severe asthma, there's times, that my breath is very challenging.
Yeah, and Christina has a lung disease, so it is very hard.
But so I do have moments where it's very easy to forget to be grateful for my breath, because when I'm struggling for breath, it's easy to forget that most of the time I'm doing fine. That, you know, when asthma occurs, it does tend to be pretty fleeting. And just to breathe, just to be grateful for breath every moment of our lives, is such a gift, to be alive and be conscious of the things around us. And our breath is so fundamental. So be grateful for your breath.
Right.
Because it's, you can breathe in joy, you know, and exhale negative thinking, and turn your thoughts. When your thoughts are negative, try to catch yourself and turn it into something positive. What am I grateful for? Like Siko was saying, maybe I'm having a bad day, but what do I have to be grateful for? And usually there's a lot more to be grateful for than there isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good, it's a good exercise to try to catch yourself when you're being negative. Just stop your thinking for a moment and try to reverse that and remind yourself of gratitude.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm very grateful for good food. And because I did work with people who had problems with obesity and challenging histories with weight gain and loss, I think it's really important when we're eating to be grateful for every bite. And we always notice that the first couple of bites taste the best.
Right.
And often after that, we're just eating. You know, we stop enjoying it. We're just eating. And we probably need to stop and enjoy every bite and eat slowly and mindfully and be grateful that we have this body, this amazing machine that can take that food and taste it, digest it. And wow, what a miracle that is. So, yeah, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I have that awareness of food so I can truly enjoy food.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why during retreats or during meditation periods where there is food involved, that they usually have that as a silent eating, because it helps, it kind of forces you to at least turn off one channel in your mind, that so you can be more alert and present for your food.
Yes, I think that's hugely important. So many people eat in front of the television. Whole families will have three or four different televisions and they're all watching something different. And when you're watching television, you're not engaged with your food. You're not tasting your food. You're not being present with your food. Food is something you're doing while you watch TV. And when you're eating, you need to just eat and just appreciate it, and not all the distraction is one of the causes of weight gain. You know, it's just not being aware of what you're doing, not being conscious.
Right.
So I think that's really important.
That's great. Do you want to talk about how you got to meditation?
I think I evolved into a meditation practice because I was so distractible. And I've always had a huge problem with distraction and difficulty staying focused. And we happened to move to New York City for a contract 1 year in 1980. And the distraction was so overwhelming, not just in my own mind, but in the environment around me. Mm-hmm. All the people hustling and the trains and the cabs and the honking, and so much was going on all the time. And I became overwhelmed and needed a way to find some harmony within myself. I'd always found harmony in nature, but that just wasn't working there. Right. So one day I walked to and from work. And one day on my way home from work, I stopped in a bookstore just feeling kind of desperate, like I needed to do something different. And I picked up a book by Philip Kaplow. And
The Three Pillars of Zen.
The Three Pillars of Zen. And it was kind of life-altering because it made me realize some very fundamental things I needed to know right then. And I began a meditation practice. And it's so beneficial. It's coming home to yourself as opposed to continually, reacting to stimulus around you. It's going into where you need to be to remain stress-free and peaceful and not distracted. So you can have anything going on around you, the traffic in New York, the honking, the people yelling, the cars, and you can go inside and find that place of harmony. So those things can be on the outside and you can find your place on the inside. So it's hugely beneficial. So I think that was the start for me. You know, in a Zen practice, Sangha is very important. Having a group of people who, like yourself, are struggling to find that peace within. But I also think it's critical to have a connection with nature, because I think we forget that is where we get our nourishment, the air we breathe, the trees, the flowers, everything around us, the mountains. So being able to connect with nature, and that's always what I did before we went to New York. I would drive to the mountains or go to the beach and just experience the overwhelming beauty of nature and have deep gratitude and realize how small I was, that, you know, I could blow my problems up as much as I wanted to, but I was surrounded by something so much larger than myself. And I later realized that was my ego being cut down to size. And that was a good thing.
That's great. Well, I guess we can talk more about that later. But for this episode, we just wanted to kind of talk a little bit about gratitude. And thanks so much for telling me about gratitude.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed some of that chatting with Christina. And I have a couple more thoughts about it as well, and I've been periscoping about it. And one of the things is we live in a society where everything has become about keeping score and keeping track. And some of the downsides to that is, of course, that, for example, when they figured out that everybody's salary should be public, it's great to be transparent, but the downside to that was that now people were leaving their jobs because so-and-so was making much more money. And so it became this constant comparing and looking for what's not enough, what we don't have. The same with the pursuit of happiness, which, of course, we're all very familiar with. And that's just another thing to pursue after: more money, more fame, more status, more everything. And so these things all take us away from what's already there, what's in front of us, in front of our noses, and what we already have. So I think that most of us struggle with that, what we already have versus what we don't have, and the sense of, you know, not being enough or not being good enough. Most people struggle with that. So to a large extent, suffering is the added pain that we give ourselves for losing sight of what is in our life, what is already there. So that can create suffering. And of course, it's not about denying if something really is wrong, but it's just not proportional if we're mostly looking at what's missing or what is not enough versus what we do have, the completeness of this moment. So I think to some extent we want to practice gratitude because that helps us relearn the ability to smell the roses that are right in front of us, or the bird singing that's above us, or even the fans that are spinning around above our heads, just the pure sound. Being able to hear that without having a constant chatter in our mind about what's missing or the future or the past. So just to summarize, here's a couple of ideas that if you hadn't thought of that might be helpful for you to practice gratitude in order to reduce your stress and increase your well-being. You know, reducing the tightness in your body and your mind, and increase your well-being and spaciousness by practicing gratitude. So for starters, when you wake up in the morning, and some of you are probably already doing that, but what I do when I wake up in the morning, and this is something I've learned from Thich Nhat Hanh, is I simply, in my mind, I immediately take a few breaths and think of something that I'm grateful for. The way Thich Nhat Hanh does it, he recites a sentence: "Waking up this morning, I smile. 24 brand new hours are before me. I vow to live fully in each moment and look at all beings with eyes of compassion." And you can shake this up, and that's what I do. You know, each morning I think of something else. Maybe this morning I wake up and feel grateful. I have a brand new day and I can go to work and bicycle and the sky is blue and it's nice and cool and I'm going to be thankful. And I'm grateful that Christina's right next to me and the dogs are happy and, you know, so forth. But, you know, each time you can come up with something different. There are times where you can't say that, but then you can be grateful for something else. And then some of you may have a notebook or a diary next to your bed, and maybe that's a great time to write down 5 or 10 things that you're grateful for. But the other time to do it is simply when you're maybe in the middle of a stressful situation, or maybe you're sitting in your car in front of a red light or in a traffic jam. That's another great time to recite 10 or 20 things. And another way to do it is I have a recurring event on my Google Calendar, and it just reminds me every single morning, was I grateful for something? And then I can go and open that, and each day it's just a recurring event, so you can edit that and simply type some stuff in, some things you're grateful for. So I might type in one day 5 things I'm grateful for outside or inside or in my life, and then the next day different 5 things. And then each day I keep writing into it. And by recording that in Google Calendar, it allows me to then make sure that I'm staying on track with that and that I continue to do that, because I get a calendar reminder. And somebody else may want to use little rocks or beads or something like that. You know, like a bracelet with little beads on it. You can get quite creative with that. You might have black rocks in one pocket and white rocks in another pocket. And every time you think of something positive that happened to you today, you move the white rock into another pocket. And that way you can start to see that there is many more good things that happen than difficult things or painful things that happen. And so that's one more way of seeing how many positive things there are in the day that we may otherwise not have been made aware of. So these are just some ideas, and please let me know in the comments or in Twitter or wherever you like. Let me know what you do or whether any of these methods worked for you if you tried something like that, or maybe you have another method that works really well for you. Please feel free to share. So a couple of ways you could also use these gratitude exercises would be like if you're in the middle of the day and suddenly you're stressed or your breathing is shallow or your stomach is churning or your shoulders are tightening or you're feeling unappreciated or depressed and down or lonely or worried or anxious. Anyway, any of these states that may be feeling more negative and less beneficial would be like a cue if you could somehow turn it into a call to pay attention and take a few deep breaths, you know, 3 or 4, and then think of 5 things that you're grateful for. And I bet you anything, it'll reduce your stress level, even if it's just a little bit. It'll help reduce the stress and increase well-being again. So maybe it's a very good idea to practice that in the middle of the day whenever you're in a difficult situation. So I hope this helped a little bit, and let me know. This is going to be meditationfreedom.com/29. And just to end this episode, I'm going to play a small segment of an encounter Olive and I had, and Olive is our rescue dog, who loves to run around who loves to walk. And we were walking at night, and it was almost pitch black, just the stars. And suddenly we were surrounded by a pack of coyotes. And so I'm just going to share this little audio clip from that encounter. Feel free to look me up on Periscope or Twitter. And it's just @ROODSICCO. With that, here's the audio clip. Hope you have a wonderful rest of the week. Thanks so much for listening. Woo!
Thank you so much for joining us on the Meditation Freedom Podcast, where meditation meets daily life.